AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a bad night for Scottish clubs in Europe. Wilfried Nancy's wait for a first Celtic win goes on with a 3-0 home defeat against Roma. Rangers' nightmare Euro run continues, losing this time against Ferencvaros, and Aberdeen perform slightly better than the other two but still lose against Strasbourg. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, Celtic took a leap of faith when they appointed Wilfried Nancy as their manager, and now for the moment at any rate it looks as if the team has fallen off a cliff. Ibrox, well, Rangers, the first side for 39 years in Rangers jerseys to go five consecutive away matches in Europe losing every one. Aberdeen, not a win at Pittodrie in their European campaign this season. We may have a team in the World Cup, but in European terms we're nobodies.
Always knew it was going to be a tough three games for Wilfried Nancy. It's definitely proven that way. I think looking at Sunday, what we're going to speak about tonight will be personnel, shape, all of these things that have been major talking points off the back of the last two games. Rangers, again, defensive frailties not good enough, and they'll be looking to put that right against Hibs on Monday night.
It's one of those nights where nobody's happy. The type of night Hugh Keevans was made for, really, when you think about it. So get in touch on 0141-951-1025 and get your unhappiness off your chest. Celtic fans, there's clearly a big picture here because this week's all about Wilfried Nancy as well. It's not just about Europa League. It's not just about Roma. It's not just about the points. It's about Wilfried Nancy coming in. The tactics, not even the tactics board anymore. We've moved on, just the tactics, the formation, what you saw on the pitch last night, how this is going to go going forward, how you bounce back and try and win a cup final. Because if you think there's some negativity out there just now, my goodness, imagine it on Monday if it doesn't go Celtic's way, a competition that they've won 7 out of the last 9 in. You really would expect them most seasons to go on and win it again. But what does this Sunday have in store for you? And are you fearful, or do you think it's the perfect game to bounce back? Do let us know. 0141-951-1025. What in particular didn't work last night? Maybe there were some things that you did see though that you liked, because I think there were clearly flashes here and there, and you could see little bits of what was trying to be done. Is that enough to encourage you, or are you not so impressed yet? Do let us know on that usual number. Rangers fans, I think the Thursday night magic wore off a long time ago, didn't it? But what's the latest instalment look like for you? So many permutations in the group, and we spoke about everybody trying to get to that kind of 10-point mark. Well, clearly nowhere near that is possible. Still two games left, 1 point on the board. Maybe not the absolute worst performance overall against Ferencvaros, but defensively, again, what did you make of it? Give us your thoughts, please. Aberdeen fans, if you want to join in, and where are you, St Mirren fans? Is there a better time to get Celtic? Do you allow yourself to dream along those lines? Or do you sometimes sort of fear the wounded animal, so to speak, and worry what Sunday might have in store? Let us know, all of the above, and anything else you think we've missed on 0141-951-1025. Even a wee bit of breaking news when I turned my computer on there. I noticed that Auchinleck Talbot, Hugh, have confirmed that the Scottish Cup tie against Celtic will be played at Rugby Park.
Well, that's good for Celtic, not so good for Auchinleck Talbot, because if you go to their pitch, and I'm told it's a very, very good pitch, but in the tight confines of their ground, it would be a traditional cup tie. At Rugby Park, it's another game. Although the surface might not be to the Celtic players' liking.
Auchinleck say they are extremely disappointed. You know, they've said it's lengthy discussions with East Ayrshire Council, Police Scotland, the Scottish FA, and they call it an extremely disappointing and difficult decision. So if you have any thoughts on that, it'd be nice to hear from Auchinleck fans or
Make
Celtic
them more
fans.
Money.
Yeah, that is true. But yes, they are But disappointed at that outcome. Just some breaking news there. In fact, they're confirming all the fixtures for the Scottish Cup at the moment as well. Rangers against Annan, as an example, is going to be on the Friday night on the 16th of January. But I think we've got enough to worry about before we get to the Scottish Cup. So do get in touch. 0141 951 1025. And it's League Cup final weekend as well, Hugh Keevans. Always special when the first piece of silverware comes around. That's before you even worry about struggling managers or anything like that. I always like it when we dish out the first trophy.
Yeah, I mean, it's come at such a time for Wilfred Nancy and those Celtic players. Stephen Robinson, the St Mirren manager, has spoken about the final being a case of show faith over fear. And there can be no one who would write off St Mirren's chances. Absolutely no one. And why should they? The last three meetings of St Mirren and Celtic, final game of last season, Celtic played poorly. James Forrest got them a draw right at the end. First game of this season, Celtic played poorly. But a goal from Luke McCowan, 3 minutes from time, got them the points. And then we all remember the last game at Paisley, where Callum McGregor's fantastic goal gets Celtic out of trouble. But they are in for one heck of a match on Sunday, because the team is not playing well. The team is full of mediocre players, and that is one of Wilfred Nancy's biggest problems. Tonekty and Yang can't play the Wilfred Nancy system. They're just not equipped to play it. You've got players like Benjamin Nygren in the middle of the park doing nothing. Maeda off at half-time. Kieran Tierney off at half-time. Kieran Tierney, will he start the cup final? He looks as if the glut of fixtures may have taken its toll of him. Maeda's head looks to be all over the place. Yep. You wouldn't be surprised if Iheanacho started that match. Celtic are by no means favourites.
0141 951 1025. How would you look back on last night? A lot of negativity out there for all the teams involved in Europe. Maybe Aberdeen not quite, but even at that, a fairly difficult European run for them. Chris is going to kick us off in Govan, though. How are you, Chris?
Not bad. How are you, boys?
Good, thank you, Chris. What are you thinking tonight?
In my opinion, I think Wilfred Nancy, now I'm not advocating for managers to get sacked or anything like that, but I think Wilfred Nancy potentially is 2 games to save his job. I'm not saying sack the manager or anything like that, but I think defeating Sunday and then defeat on the Wednesday at Dundee United could potentially signal the end. The 3-4-3 is not working at all. I'm okay, it's okay to play a system if you have the players to play it, but he doesn't at the moment, because obviously Jota's injured and Alistair Johnston's injured, and those players could play that system. If he wants to play that system, then he's either got to move Kieran Tierney into midfield and play the young boy Murray, then you've got your three centre-halves. Because the last 2 games, he's playing 3 left-footed centre-halves, which means if you come down the right-hand side, it's an issue. And that's what Roma did last night. I mean, I've watched him the 2 games, and basically it is not working at all. He either needs to adapt, or we could potentially be facing meltdown at Celtic.
How does this work, Hugh? Because I've said it all week. I know what this show is going to sound like on Monday night if Celtic lose, and it would seem like an awful, awful long way back for Wilfred Nancy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, should any club anywhere on this planet bin their manager after 4 games? I mean, do we need to breathe and think about this logically? I know it's a big shock when Celtic don't win trophies and all that, but really?
Well, before we get to systems, the optics, to lose to Hearts, the biggest league game of the season so far, to lose in the manner in which they did against Roma, to follow that up with a cup final loss, the optics are horrific. Before we even get to Dundee United, you take the cup final in isolation, and people would say, if you can't get a Celtic team to beat St Mirren, then what is wrong with you? It's a horrible time for Wilfred Nancy. And I repeat, his biggest problem is what he has is inadequate. And you can bemoan the loss of Jota, Ali Johnson, Carter Vickers, whoever you like. He's got to deal with the cards that he has, and the cards that he has are insufficient at the moment.
2 games to save his job, says Chris. How does that work, Scott? No, I know how important Sunday is, but
I would be very surprised if he had 2 games to save his job. Listen, I get the frustrations watching it. New manager comes in off the back of Martin O'Neill. obviously being the glue and getting results, getting Celtic over the line. They weren't fantastic in all the games, but he managed to find solutions to get his better players performing again. The Hearts game, I think Celtic should be 2-0 up in the first 15 minutes. It's not. And then in the isolated moments, they didn't defend properly. Last night, they're playing against a superior team. No getting away from that. But again, they don't defend well in the isolated moments, and that's when it becomes very visible in a certain shape. When you don't have as much as the ball as you probably would domestically, we just time and time again get exploited, especially down the side. So for me, looking at Tarek, listen, at the same time, Jota doesn't come in wide of a 3-4-3 playing that wing-back role when you don't have the ball. It wouldn't suit him either, I wouldn't imagine. Alistair Johnson, yes, but not Jota. It then becomes Wilfried Nancy after two games. If he was to then change his shape for Sunday, as it goes against everything that's got him the Celtic job in the first place. But at the same time, if you do not have the players that you think can go out and perform what you've asked for them to do in training and then carry out on a Saturday or on a game day, then you can't do it. You have to do what Martin O'Neill done, and that was find a solution to get your better players performing. And we all know, listen, the Celtic squad's not of the same quality we've seen the last few years. Nowhere near it. But they have to get to January winning games of football.
I want to ask Chris, so should any club anywhere ever think about binning a manager after four games, Chris? What if you replace him and the next guy loses his first four?
No, as I say, I'm not advocating for managers to get sacked. I really do want Wilfried Nancy to succeed.
I know you do, but you also said he's got two games to save his job.
Yes, because this is the West of Scotland, where Celtic and Rangers, if they lose one game, it's a crisis. You cannot, at Celtic, lose four games, come out in the media and go, but the performance is good and I see things that are going well. Brilliant. But Celtic and Rangers, Celtic fans don't care how poor the team is playing. If we're winning games, I would take playing poor every single week if we won 1-0 every week.
Answer the question if you could. If you replaced him and the next guy lost his first four games, would you bin him as well?
Well,
you have seven, eight managers by the end of the season.
No, I'm not saying that the next guy would come in, but the point is, he has to adapt. If he's the manager and 60,000 fans can see his system isn't working, just change it. Go back to basics. And then once you've had time to work with the players on your system, then we can implement it.
The problem is he doesn't have the players to...
The system didn't cost him at the weekend. No. It might have last night because he played good.
The only way... Tonetti can't play the system. Yang can't play the system.
So is that on the manager then?
No, but because they are all he's got.
Yeah, but does he not need to realise that? That's kind of Chris's point.
But it's on the manager.
But if they are the first picks, then it stands to reason that the ones beneath them, he didn't think they were good enough to start anyway. So the cup final, it's such a watershed moment. A landmark event. He's already the first manager in Celtic's history to lose his first two games. I know that's a small thing.
I must admit, I don't like that stat purely because some managers play Roma in their second game and some managers play Livy in their 100%. Second game. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that's...
Yeah.
It sounds great. It sounds dramatic, but...
Now that those words have left my mouth, that's not correct.
No, I think it is.
No, Wim Janssen lost at Easter Road and then lost to Dunfermline.
Was there something in between?
No.
Are you sure?
I did this programme 28 years ago. I took the call from a Celtic fan who said, I want Janssen out now. I want him out tonight. Hibs played Celtic at Easter Road. Henrik Larsson.
Henrik Larsson gave the ball away one.
To Chick Charnley and lost 2-1. The following Saturday, they played Dunfermline at Celtic Park and lost there as well. And I took the call on Super Scoreboard 28 years ago from the fan saying, get him out. So... he's not the first manager.
No, they played in between. They played some cup games in between.
But yeah. In between those two league games.
So Hibs 2, Celtic 1, yeah? August 97?
Yep.
Chick Charnley, yeah. They played Berwick in the League Cup the following week and a UEFA Cup game and then Dunfermline.
Right.
So I think that's why. First two league games.
But anyway, if there's one thing that characterises this season in this city involving those two clubs... it's utterly eccentric, unbelievable behaviour. And, Russell Martin, how many games did he get? 17?
Yeah. But he also had, 17, don't need me to tell you, is more than four. Mm-hmm. And he had a pre-season. I just feel like Because you're the biggest proponent of this stuff. The draws a...
A draw's a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe.
Exactly, and Chris is saying this is the West of Scotland. We should be proud of that in certain but I don't think we should wear it as a badge of honour to say, oh, here you can get the sack after four games. I don't think that's anything to be proud of.
If one of them's a cup final, then it exacerbates, and that's as far as I'll go.
It
exacerbates the situation. I spoke to a friend of mine today who was at Celtic Park last night, and the Roma thought they'd scored a fourth goal. VAR saved Celtic, but at that point the ground emptied, and some supporters look at Wilfred Nancy and think it was too much of a left field appointment. He comes from the MLS where there is no jeopardy.
Let's bring in Jamie on the other line. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you doing, lads? All right?
Yeah, what are you thinking?
And look, I know that people are going to say, I mean, I've had enough arguments on social media the last sort of week or so for people to say that this is reactionary, but genuinely, for me, Wilfred Nancy needs to go. I don't think there's any way that he does a U-turn here, and I think it's not, I don't actually think it's his fault, apart from the tactics side of things, which I'll come on to in a second.
So now sacking a guy for two games is for something that's not his fault, my word.
The reason I would sack him is because, one, I don't think he was the right appointment in the first place, so if it was up to me, he wouldn't have been hired. I think the problem is that he's been put into an impossible situation where he actually can't succeed. I do think a lot of this falls on the board. I don't think the board expected Martin O'Neill to win 7 out of 8 games. I don't think they expected that outcome, especially not after what had happened with Brendan. I think they've went very left field, and they've got this guy who, quite frankly, is inexperienced. He doesn't have the experience to be able to cope with the demands of... I mean, I keep saying European football. I don't mean European football. I mean pyramid sort of style-based football that we have where, as I say, there is jeopardy, just as Hugh was mentioning there. There is no jeopardy in the MLS. You can finish inside the top four, the top five, and you can still win the quote-unquote league. I just don't... It's no the same, and it's no the same format. Wilfred Nancy, for me, I don't think is going to win a single game as Celtic manager because he's going to persist with these tactics, and it's not working.
Well, he won't win a single game if you sack him tonight, because then he gets no others. I don't know, this feels extreme. Even by our wacky standards,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, listen, I get the frustrations because a new manager comes in and he's never going to please everyone. The thing for me is, and we'll talk about stubbornness and will he change the shape or not, the fact he came in off the back of 2 days training, get into the Hearts game, which at that time was the biggest game of the season, and completely changed it, is enough to tell you that he's going to stick to his guns. He's just going to try and make the performance better. At the same time, I felt in the Hearts game there was a lot of good moments. I think, as I said before, Celtic should have been up in the game. That would have then made Hearts have to come after you, drew them out a bit, and Celtic would have got more space, but they were playing out, etc, etc. But for me to call for his head after two games is extremely early.
Struggling a bit now, Hugh, even more than I was 10 minutes ago, because now not only are we calling for the sacking of a guy after two games, it's not even his fault, apparently. And so I can't get my head around that, how that works.
I think Jamie is trying to compartmentalise, and he's accepting the fact that the squad is mediocre at best, but also...
Well, if anything, that should afford the manager more leeway.
Yeah, but the actual appointment of the manager was perhaps an experiment too far.
Do you have to give it time to find out?
Again, I'll go back to...
Should have gave it an extra week.
Trigger points. If he loses the cup final, he's in deep, deep bother. If he loses to Rangers on the 3rd of January, I think at that point it is conceivable he could lose his job.
But that's kind of my point. You can... It's a results-driven business, as we all know. You can find out. It's not like we'll never know. You're allowed to give it more than two games, and then you'll find out. Whatever situation we're in tonight, as Hugh says, becomes worse if he loses the cup final.
Absolutely.
You then might have a scenario where Rangers overtake Celtic in the lead, or they fall further behind Hearts. You don't have to decide after two games. Why? This sounds mad. Am I honestly mad? Have I woken up and like...
It is mad.
Some
two games. Is that
planet? You can't do it. You can't sack a manager after two games.
I think people are putting a down payment on this. Yeah. You know, that after two games, they said, oh, I'm not really, really, really. I repeat, if he loses the cup final and loses his first game against Rangers, I think, bizarre as it may sound to the rest of the outside world, Russell Martin paid the price 123 days and he was gone. If Wilfred Nancy...
And arguably got too long.
Lost, yeah. yeah. lost the cup final, and lost to Rangers at Celtic Park, yeah. as I say, bizarre as it may sound, he would be in danger of losing his job.
Russell Martin comparisons don't work though, because firstly, far more games. Secondly, the whole pre-season, and he signed the players, he built that team. You know, Wilfred Nancy's right now is under completely different circumstances. But anyway, Jamie, thank you very much. We'll take more of your calls next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Duke Evans and Scott Allen are here. Let's bring in Paul, who's on the line. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Scott. How's it going? I just wanted to make a point that two games of Wilfred Nancy's I've watched, and both games are nobody finished watching. But see, at the same time, I could forgive what happened on Sunday, because it was just in the door. He wanted to get things set up, and I said before that the players needed to have some responsibility for the performance in that game. I could even forgive last night, because if we lost 3-0 to Roma with Martin O'Neill in charge, we'd all shrugged our shoulders and went, do you know what, we're playing Roma in Europe. But see, if we lose on Sunday, there's going to be riots at Celtic Park. And again, I don't even think it's Wilfred Nancy's fault. And to some degree, because the board have put him in a really bad position. And as Scott said there, they should have given him another week. And we can't just sit here. This is Glasgow. We can't just sit and wait for a transfer window for him to bring in the players that will let him play a system that he likes to play. I mean, certainly not after the back of the confidence we've got in the transfer window we've just came out of. What confidence do we have going into this one? And really, genuinely, people are right. He's no got any time to put this into place. He
Paul, either needs to Paul, let me ask you, Paul. Supposing they given him that week's grace, and Martin O'Neill had taken the team to Hampden, what if Martin O'Neill had lost at Hampden?
After losing those two other games?
What I'm saying is, you cannot bring in a man to be manager of Celtic and then say, but listen, we'd rather you sat out the cup final because we're not sure about you in a cup final yet, and we'll take Martin O'Neill. That's simply not how football or life works. And I ask again, what if Martin had taken the team to Hampden and lost? Because they're not a great team, as you can see for yourself. You have just admitted that you haven't even watched the two matches in their entirety, because you know they're a poor team.
Do you not think the Celtic board could have been a bit more sensible, though? There's always ways we can delay, obviously, getting a manager in place. If you had everything agreed, you can still have delayed it for a week of football.
Well, again, they took 6 weeks.
I understand your point.
They took 6 weeks to get Wilfred Nancy here. And it was their great good fortune that Martin O'Neill came in and the fans embraced him and they got results. A few of those results were lucky, but Martin got them. However, I do not think you can appoint a manager of Celtic and say, but listen, stand over there for the moment and we'll let Martin O'Neill take care of things and then we'll bring you in when it's safe. Again, Martin goes, and whether he wins or loses the cup final, the following game is Dundee United. So if Wilfred Nancy comes in for Dundee United in his first game and loses that, then we're back to where we started.
Keep hearing quite a bit of this, Paul, where you and other callers will say, I mean, some of this isn't even Wilfred Nancy's fault. But by the way, if he loses on Sunday, he's out in his ear. So how can those two sort of thoughts coexist? Let's take the emotion out of it. Forget that it's Celtic. Let's just call it a hypothetical football club somewhere else where you bring a new manager in. He's got three games in a week, in charge of a squad that's actually not very good by its normal standards, hasn't been having a good season, has some injuries as well, and then you give this manager at this hypothetical club three games to prove that he's the right guy. That just feels unrealistic.
So this is the thing, again, this is why there's
a big focus on the board here. And yes, Wilfred Nancy has got every right to come in as a Celtic manager and try and put his tactics into place. But Martin O'Neill was getting a tune out of the players to some degree. I mean, we still struggled to beat St Mirren and Paisley and what have you. But we were getting results. And if you were to follow the pattern, it would deem to follow that we would get results again come this weekend, regardless of what happened in Europe. Wilfred Nancy has came in, tried to implement his style, and it is not working, which means there is no confidence in going into the weekend. And it's not his fault, it's his job. He's here as a manager to do what he needs to do. But the board have put him in a very, very bad position. And in Glasgow, you don't have January to sit and wait and bring in players to play to that system. And again, we don't have the confidence after the back of the last transfer.
Paul, are you fundamentally saying then that the board have appointed the wrong man and it's their fault?
They appointed a man far too early, I think.
Is that the right man or the wrong man?
Timing can be important, yeah. But see on that, that Paul says, and I keep hearing it, maybe this is our fault. Maybe we do cultivate a lot of this stuff. This is Glasgow, and you don't. I don't think it, if I'm ever in charge of FIFA, I don't think you should ever be allowed to sack a manager who's not at the transfer window. I think that's absolutely ludicrous. I thought it with Ange Postecoglou at Nottingham Forest. Again, that's why I was making the joke about the hypothetical. I don't really care much whether it's Celtic or anybody else. How can you recruit a manager to lead your football club and sack him before he gets the chance to pick the players to play within that team?
Yeah, but I think managers are chosen because you have a belief in them to their ability to further your team.
You can always do that and improve what's there. Don't get me wrong, but I still think there's a recruitment becomes a fundamental part of
it. The one thing they always said about Brendan Rodgers, he made good players better. But I just feel that everything surrounding Wilfred Nancy's appointment...
Brendan Rodgers lost to Hearts, Martin O'Neill lost to Michelin.
And Michelin was game three, but again, Martin O'Neill was Martin O'Neill, and he was a legend, and they'd beaten Rangers at the weekend.
And Brendan Rodgers won 11 out of 13 trophies.
Yeah, I know.
But that's the point then. Is this guy... Has he got a chance? Has he got a chance to begin with? Because when Michelin happened... Right? Yep. Everybody said, oh, this isn't even Martin O'Neill. That's a rubbish squad. That squad is not equipped for European football. But tonight, it's all Wilfried Nancy's fault.
He's got a chance, but Sunday is pivotal because
it's a small chance.
I understand that, but.
So for you, Hugh, if he was to lose on Sunday, you think,
I think he's in bother. He is undoubtedly in bother. And as an earlier caller said, if he followed that up by losing at Dundee United, then I don't know what. But for me, we always bang on about it, the optics. If he loses a cup final, things will deteriorate very quickly. And if he loses to Rangers on the 3rd of January, he will have a heck of a job holding on to a job.
It feels like the players are getting off with this a bit, Paul.
100%. I said they need to take some responsibility themselves. But they were getting results under a formation and that worked under Martin O'Neill, even if we were just scraping by. And this is why I'm saying that it's a big scope is on the board for putting him in this position in a big week like this. If we had came off the back of the cup final, win or lose with Martin O'Neill, he wouldn't have that pressure on him and he could start afresh. Right, here we go, put in my tactics and we've got a transfer window, new manager, fresh start. Wouldn't have made any difference.
But what does that say about the level of belief you have as the members of the Celtic board, Dermot Desmond as the de facto owner of the club? What does that say about your level of belief in Wilfred Nancy if you say, yes, we want you as our new manager, but we don't think we can trust you in this cup final?
There's ways where they could have delayed that, Hugh. I think.
But that's what it looks like then. You're deliberately manoeuvring the situation. Is there
a happy medium where you say, you know, Martin O'Neill's the one that got them into the final, he gets the chance to sign off on that? Because was it 9 days? How long has he been in? Is it a week? Was it a week ago today?
You could
something like that. It was the Wednesday night. So you're looking at 10 days. That's all it was. I take your point, but. Could Martin O'Neill have seen the cup campaign through, having managed the semi?
Well, I'd answer that in two ways. First of all, what if Martin lost the cup final? Then it would be the board's fault for not bringing in the new guy to take the cup final. And if you are the new guy, Wilfred Nancy, and they put it to you in a way that we'd like you to be the new manager, but after we've played a cup final, then I would say, hold on, I don't think you actually believe in me, and I wouldn't have taken the job.
I think there was just a way you could have been a bit cuter with it. I think for all involved, for Martin O'Neill, I felt he probably deserved to have the going leading Celtic out of Hampden. And for Wilfried Nancy, take him in off the back of the team, that confidence. And then you have a period where the pressure isn't on you from the get-go. Yes, there's always pressure, but not... Mm-hmm. I always had my doubts about this week for Wilfried Nancy. It was always going to be difficult.
I'll meet you both in the middle then, because if we can combine those two ideas, Hugh, let's imagine Wilfried Nancy takes over after St Mirren. Mm-hmm. Celtic play Dundee United, Aberdeen, Livy. Now, if those games don't go to plan, we're not getting the sacking calls, I don't think. You're getting a lot of criticism, but it's the significance of these fixtures.
Yeah.
The first one is a top of the table clash, which he's lost. The next one, it kind of sets you up for the fall, as we spoke about there. That stat about the first manager to lose his first two games. Yeah, but his second one was against Roma, whereas the second one in that run would have been against Aberdeen, and then there's a cup final. It's the tangible sign of failure if you lose a trophy.
I think when you have a club like Celtic and Rangers, when it's about history, tradition, all of the stuff that the fans respond to, I think if you are asked to follow on from Brendan Rodgers, from Martin O'Neill, iconic figures in Celtic's history, but we'd like to get cute on it and we'd like to fiddle you in the door by the side entrance and wait till a cup final's over, I don't think that fits the history and tradition. If you're appointing a manager of Celtic or Rangers, you have to believe implicitly that they will be the man to further your club, and you have to believe implicitly from day one.
These are strange times, though. We very rarely get these types of managerial change mid-season in Glasgow. But there we go. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Right, some brilliant prizes for you tomorrow on the Cash for Kids Sports Auction. It obviously comes with a serious purpose, and that is to raise vital money for children in our communities that really need your help. Make sure you tune in, 1:45, we even come on 15 minutes early tomorrow. Rangers fans, we've got director's box tickets. It includes the usual pre-match drinks, buffets, refreshments at halftime. Similar prize for you Celtic fans, a signed top from the player of your choice. If money can't buy, not can on this occasion, sort of sporting memorabilia, rare sporting memorabilia is your thing, we've got framed Andy Murray racket, signed photos and all that from Wimbledon 2013. There's stuff for Partick Thistle fans. You can head along and watch Mark Wilson and Alex Ray in all their glory in the training ground. He's got his stopwatch round his neck and everything. Make sure you listen, get your bids in tomorrow. In the meantime, you can donate at clyde1.com/mission, and you can help us make a difference. Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce.
Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, so is Scott Allen. We're looking back on last night's European disappointments. Let's bring in Ryan in Bearsden. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Ryan. How are you, more importantly?
A wee bit dismayed at what's happening. So I think it's... I went to the game last night, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, I don't know what the Celtic... What the manager's thinking. I don't know what the Celtic board are thinking bringing that guy in. I say that, and I'd really like to give this guy a chance, but watching that last night was really painful. What the Hearts one was, and it's like they've not got the players. These players go Brendan Rodgers, the billet. Martin O'Neill came in and done a great job. He was just managing to scrape results. So I don't know, excuse me, I don't know why this guy thinks that he's got the players there to be able to come in and play that kind of 3-4-3 system. Because, I mean, I don't see why you just want to try and skate through to Christmas and then maybe at the New Year bring in the players, the transfer window, and then maybe try and play that system, because everybody can see that's still working, and that was really, really poor last night. And I think that this is actually happening all over Scotland. I mean, look at Rangers and all. I don't think that I think that everybody's having a bad impact on it. I don't know what's happening. I think all the teams are suffering just now.
The thing about that, I think obviously last night's a sobering night overall for, you know, for everybody. I think it's all for different reasons though. So I think it's hard to when you lump it all in as a winner in that regard. Let's talk specifically about the system, Scott. You're into that sort of stuff. Hugh, you're
no,
to be quite honest. But the thing is, it will be used as a stick to beat Wilfred Nancy with. He might not have won with four at the back last night, but people would have, it's almost like they would just rather have found out that way. Did we see a clue in game that he actually thinks he does need a right footer in the back three? Was it better when Donovan came on?
Yeah, it was.
Or, I mean, but then Nancy skeptics will say, yeah, it's just because Roma had, you know, had taken their foot off the gas. But it did look better, didn't it?
It was better. Second half was better. I understand Roma were in control. They didn't have to really press for the game. But at the same time, before Wilfried Nancy had even signed the contract, people were speaking about the 3-4-3. They were. That was right from the get-go. How's this shape going to look in the Celtic team? Celtic never played this way. And Wilfried Nancy will believe that his system will actually simplify the game for his players. That's what any managers who play a certain formation, that is what they intend to do, simplify the game. And that a lot of it is in the build-up. You've seen last night, any time they played a straight pass, Roma were on it. Players didn't look really comfortable receiving the ball way back to goal. And they were put under constant pressure. The 3-0 down. Second half was better. I thought Iheanacho, Bernardo, Donovan, as you said, I thought they all made a better impact within the game. And certain individuals in moments just weren't at the level it was expected. But there's no getting away from it. For me, Celtic should be competitive at home to Roma in the Europa League. I really think they should be.
Can I ask you, as a former player, Evan Ferguson after the game said he thought that some of the Celtic players on the park didn't understand what they were supposed to be doing. Is that a possibility?
I wouldn't look too much into that. I think when you're an opposition player and you get asked about how the opposition team, you're more concentrated on yourself, you'll look at ways to hurt them. Yes, he is Irish. I think they said on the commentary last night that it was a Celtic fan, but it doesn't really matter. It's what Wilfried Nancy and his
players believe. It's also quite telling, because the answer was there were some good bits, yeah, and there were some bits where they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah,
nobody's reported the first half of that sentence. And I'm similar to you. I think it's a good soundbite, so I partially understand why, but that's what he said. He said there were some good bits and there were some bits where they looked like they didn't know what they were doing. I've not heard MD repeat the fact that he said there were some good bits.
As I say, my sympathy with Wilfried Nancy is that he has come into Celtic at a time when what was once a very good squad is now a very mediocre squad, where you've got midfield full of players like Nygren. Hatate's gone back into his shell.
I thought Hatate was okay in the second half.
Well, but you know, overall, the fullback position is a worry, left and right. Iheanacho, I think, might start on Sunday because Maeda looks dazed and confused.
Maeda's played that position for Japan, hasn't he? Wing back.
I don't know, I know he's always spoken about that he played as a striker for Japan. That was always the thing.
I'm sure he's played there before. Correct me if I'm sure the cause will correct me if I'm wrong. But
Ryan, do you fear Sunday?
Do you know what? I do. When you run your adverts, you hear Big Jim says that he fancied St Bernard to get into a final, maybe to pick something up. I think they'll feel confident. I don't think they could have got Celtic at a better time. I would like it to see Celtic play 3-4-3. They've just not got the guys to date. They've not got a striker. If they had a striker on last night that could put the ball away, maybe it would have been a different story, because there was wee glimpses of, oh, here, this looks nice with that. But what was said there with the other players, man, it says, I agree with that. But Ferguson said, it's kind of like guys didn't know what they were doing. And then you would see something that looked all right, but it was, I'm not saying he says that, but that's kind of what you were seeing. Mm-hmm. And to be bleeding like that on your own ground, when this time last year you were drawing against Bayern, to think that's the same team is crazy. But we could all see this a way back in August. This is the thing, the board is getting away with it because this guy's going to take all the heat because he does things differently. I mean, you have to get a chance, but he's going to get all the heat for this, when really he didn't bring any of these players in. This isn't his thing. He's getting through in at the deep end at the worst possible time. Hearts was a big result. Last night was a big result. That could have put us out last night after Martin O'Neill managing to put it down and firing us. So there's levels to what's happening here. How bad is it Does it go into the next game and we do win it, or do we lose it? And then it has a knock-on effect on the league.
See, the idea... You know, Ryan, the idea of Celtic losing two cup finals back-to-back is also unacceptable for the fans. I mean, they lost to Aberdeen when they really shouldn't have. To lose the next one as well, it just adds to a difficult situation. I think Celtic have to hope that Kasper Schmeichel is more reliable than he was last night. Distribution of the ball, terrible. And he had the misfortune to throw one in in the last cup final. This is the man who was done by Kenny McLean from the halfway line at Hampden.
That was good though. That was funny. We can all at least agree that was funny.
Casper
still got a sense of humour.
You think a psychological aspect for Casper Schmeichel going back to Hampden?
Yeah, he threw away the cup final. He threw away the Kenny McLean goal, and he really needs to have a good Hampden on Sunday.
We are now very tactically engaged, Scott. I think it's a good thing. I think people now, you know, pay attention to it, but sometimes think, certainly against Hearts, then we can ignore the moments, because really, like we said, like the two goals Hearts score are nothing to do with Celtic system. Genuinely nothing to do with Celtic system. Now, last night there was enough body of evidence there to show that it didn't work, and Roma took full advantage of it because they're good. But at the same time, Celtic go and concede off a set piece within 6 minutes, then everybody's nervous. Yeah. Then, you know. And why is it that even whenever something goes wrong for Celtic in Europe, everything goes wrong? You just knew they were missing the penalty, don't you? We've not spoken about it. Because when Celtic are 3-0 down in Europe, they do not score penalties. And it's almost like it collapses, doesn't it, in Europe? They concede early, they'll get a quick fire double against them. The only surprise was that they didn't get someone sent off to complete the bingo card.
Let me say again, to try and cut Nancy some slack, Brendan Rodgers would have lost to Roma at Celtic Park. Martin O'Neill would have lost to Roma at Celtic Park, because
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they came to Ibrox, played within themselves and beat Rangers comfortably, and you know they did a number on Celtic last night. But I have to believe that Martin O'Neill and Brendan Rodgers would have lost to him as well.
We'll never know. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's a great way to end the week. You bounce into the weekend, it's Christmas party season, you can show off your new coin, your signed ball, tell everybody that you have superior football knowledge to Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen, but only if you call before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It is not the season of goodwill if you are a Celtic fan, judging by the first hour of the show. Some very angry reactions to last night and thoughts on Wilfried Nancy. What about you Rangers fans? You've got off with it so far by the sounds of things, because the Celtic fans have been really annoyed at what they witnessed, but I don't suppose you're much happier either. Another defeat, another defensive disaster, would we say? Is that too strong? Is that accurate? You can let us know. What did you make of Ferencváros away, and your thoughts ahead of the weekend games for you Aberdeen fans as well. Loads happening over the weekend, so get in touch and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Last night, honestly, Gordon Dale drew 4 each. We went to the tiebreaker.
He got 4?
Yeah, and the contestant got 4. We then went to the tiebreaker, and it was, as of yesterday, what is the cheapest flight you can get to Boston, right? And the answer was £400, right? They two said £3,400. They were £3,000 out. So it got, sorry, Gordon said £3,000 and still won.
That's incredible.
He was £2,500 out. Anyway, Jordan's on the line. How are you, Jordan?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Good stuff. Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
No, I've not. I've called in a few times, but I've never had the bottle to do Beat the Pundit. So,
what gave you your bottle tonight?
I don't know. I just thought I fancied a chance and Hugh's there, so hopefully we'll get a chance.
Quite right. Let's find out if it's the blue side of the coin. It's blue Hugh. And if it's the red side, it will be Scott Allen. Let's see how it lands tonight. And it is Hugh. It's the only thing about this big, heavy coin. See if I get the toss slightly wrong. It nearly breaks my knuckles when I slam it back down onto my hand, which just happened there. But blue for Hugh.
P's.
So let's get Hugh and Jordan ready to go with some music for the Shugster if we can. And you, Jordan, have got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many combined goals did the Old Firm teams concede last night?
Five.
Name the last team to beat Celtic in a League Cup final.
Aberdeen.
Scott Wright and Lyndon Dykes both play for which English team?
Birmingham.
Who was the last permanent Aberdeen manager before Jimmy Tilleen?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership team has the worst goal difference?
Livingston.
Which current Motherwell player has the most caps for Scotland?
Stephen O'Donnell.
Name any Celtic player who scored against Feyenoord last month.
Callum McGregor.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Evans, can you hear us?
Hello.
Christmas music?
No, it's La Bamba.
La Bamba.
Gonna keep asking every night just in the hope that we time it perfectly and get some Christmas song. What's your favourite Christmas song?
Fairy Tale of New York.
Classic.
Carol of the Bells.
Okay, what? Not what I expected.
Do you know it?
Well, yeah, I'm
yeah. Love it.
Seriously,
I like it.
Okay. Man of surprises. You ready, Hugh?
Okay.
Your time starts now. How many combined goals did the Old Firm teams concede last night?
Five.
Name the last team to beat Celtic in a League Cup final.
Kilmarnock.
Scott Wright and Lyndon Dykes both play for which English team?
Birmingham.
Who was the last permanent Aberdeen manager before Jimmy Tilleen?
Barry Robson.
Which Scottish Premiership side has the worst goal difference?
Dundee.
Which current Motherwell player has the most caps for Scotland?
O'Donnell.
Name any Celtic player who scored against Feyenoord last month.
Maeda.
At which stadium do Hamilton play their home games?
Broadwood.
Okay, Jordan, what's the verdict?
Flying.
Oh, I think he's done me.
You went too early, Jordan. Went too early on the old guy.
Let's find out how many combined goals did the Old Firm teams concede last night. It was five. You both got it. The last team to beat Celtic in a League Cup final was Kilmarnock. 2-1 to Hugh. Inspired by?
I just remember the whole day.
But the goalie?
Cammy Bell, yeah.
Cammy Bell. Performance of his life.
Yeah. I mean, right away, I think it was Gary Hooper should have scored after about 2 minutes, and Cammy made a save.
Who was the goal scorer, though? That's a real quiz question.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you've obviously a foreign guy with an unpronounceable name, I can't remember.
Dieter van Tornhout.
Ah.
No, not remember him. Not remember him well. Kelly fans do. Anyway, 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. You were not bad, though, Jordan. I've got a bit of faith in you. You knew Birmingham. For Dykes and Scott Wright, but unfortunately for you, so did Hugh Keevans. He then stretches his lead to two because he knew that Barry Robson was before Jimmy Tilleen. He then goes three in front because Dundee have got the worst goal difference in the league. Stephen O'Donnell is the correct answer for the Motherwell player with the most caps. Jordan got that as well, but you are on fire. Jordan had to bow out. You got more questions in. Hamilton play at Broadwood. You've got everyone right. You were going for the 10 until you said Maeda scored in Rotterdam, and he did not. It was your old favourite, Yang. Hatate and Nigrin. You blew it going for the 10. However, you have still won quite convincingly.
Everywhere
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Yang
6
gets me.
A 7-3 win.
Oh, there you
Jordan,
are.
Jordan.
I spoke too soon.
You'll never live that down. The good news is £100 to Cash for Kids.
Brilliant.
Because our friends at Cairnhill Structures are putting in £10 for every question the caller gets right. So Jordan got 30 quid, and our other pals at Hill End Motors are putting in a tenner for every question you get right.
Yeah,
so £100 to Cash for Kids. Brilliant. Hill End Motors got in touch, wanted to backdate all the answers to the start of the month as well. So hopefully we'll chuck a few extra pounds into the pot. What did you make of your Rangers team last night, Jordan?
Calamity in defence, that's all I'm going to say. You know it's bad when Ali McCoist is lost for words on commentary for the team that he loves that much, you know. January is going to be big, we need to get some defenders in. But two things I want to say. I'll pop another tenner into Cash for Kids for my pass. On Monday, my mate Cammy Menzies, who's actually playing in the World Championship of Darts down at the Ali Pally, just Scotland, get behind him. He's one of ours. Brilliant. So I just want everyone to...
Yeah, everyone will be tuned in, I'm sure.
He's on Monday afternoon. I know quite a lot of people will be working, but I think it's...
Hugh won't. Hugh does not. Hugh does nothing but sit and watch Sky Sports all day, so he'll be fine.
Hugh actually knows, I think, Cammy's manager.
Oh?
Tommy Gilmore.
Oh, do I ever. Tommy and I go back 45 years.
Many glasses red you shared over the years, would you say? If you were to guess.
Frightening. I would just leave
it in for the thousands. Drink responsibly. Yeah. Jordan says a defensive disaster for Rangers last night, Scott. That'd be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's what we've came to expect with Rangers, especially in Europe. 1 point from six games in this Europa League phase. It's just been nowhere near good enough. And I think, and again, we're speaking about individual moments when players have to have the responsibility to defend properly. And as a manager, you can't legislate for that sometimes. That is an area where Rangers are going to really have to strengthen early January. I think they have to have guys lined up already.
I don't think I'll ask Jordan a question. I don't think the Rangers fans care. They would love to think, and they are right to think, there's something left in the domestic season for them. 1 point out of 18, Europe's been a disaster, that's that. But Rangers have to one day begin to be domestically successful again. And I think that's why Jordan and the other Rangers fans are more concerned about Hibs on Monday night, followed by Hearts at Tynecastle.
But you only have to look to a week or so ago when they played Dundee United away defensively. The two goals that they gave away are...
Yeah, because you can't turn that on and off.
No.
Jordan, well, answer the man. I know Europe isn't the priority, but... Yeah, I think you all cared when you saw how bad it was last night, didn't you?
No. I mean, there was all this chat all week. Europe's not over. Europe was well and truly over even before last night. But these defenders look like competition winners. I'm sorry, but what is going on? Tav really didn't cover himself in much glory last night either. He was all over the place, and I'm pretty sure he was meant to be playing in that back three, and there was times he was running up into the centre of midfield, and you know what, there's no leadership there. There's a lot of complaints about, oh, don't give Suter a new contract. That's the first person I'd be given a new contract, because the guy knows how to defend. These two, Fernandez and Giga, I'm sorry, it's a calamity, and if it doesn't get sorted soon, I agree with you, Hugh, but domestically we could be a major issue as well. I mean, teams are targeting them too, because they know if you put a cross into the box, them two are lost. They're running around doing pirouettes, don't know where to look, and it's in the back of the net. Poor Jack Butland must be sitting there pulling his hair out, like, what else am I meant to do?
Yeah, the nature of the defending, particularly for that goal, Scott, is just uncomfortable.
Basics.
For most people, I guess if you're a Ferencváros fan or a rival fan of Rangers, it might not be uncomfortable, but if you're Jordan or anyone else involved, you'll be just wondering how it gets to that stage.
Just to, you talk about the second goal, I take it, yeah, two parts of it. Tav has to do better, has to stop the cross. It's something you would teach to 10-year-old kids when the guy's there, can you stop that cross, and then go from there, and then Fernandez for the defending. As soon as you know that ball's coming in, you know you have to attach yourself to one of the strikers. He sort of attaches himself, but he's looking the other way. And listen, I'm half joking there, but from a Rangers perspective and from Danny Rowe, looking at that, it's very hard to impact that, because that is individual personal pride in doing basic things consistently, which a lot of players struggle to do.
Because Hugh, Danny Rowe said he was angry in his post-match press conference. I'm told that once the mics went off, he was even angrier. And he's quite a kind of level-headed guy, but by all accounts, he was pretty annoyed at what he witnessed last night. So that's why, I know what you're saying in priorities, but when you're the coach, you can't compartmentalise it. You're thinking, these guys are going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, I get the impression, and I'm glad you told the story, because I've always... In recent days, I've looked at him and thought, you're not really the quiet man that you make out to be. And I think he will take a major part in the recruitment during the January transfer window, because I'm sure he knows who he wants in. I'm sure he'll get the financial backing. And I think we're beginning to see the real Danny Rule emerge. As I say, the next two games against Edinburgh's finest... You'll find out more about Danny Rowe.
Because, Jordan, you've still got these two games to go, don't you? And you don't want to just, like, I don't know whether it's personal pride or whatever, at trying to get some points on the board or even some respectable performances. It's just not what you Rangers fans have been used to Thursday nights, and now you've got two dead rubbers, so to speak.
I don't know if you remember, Gordon, I phoned up last year under Philippe Clement, and I used to say, how can teams, if you had a job and you told your boss, oh, by the way, I can't perform on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but I'm amazing at my job on a Thursday, they would sack you. Well, oh, this team just seemed to be, hold my pint and watch this, because Thursday nights are getting even worse. And Europe used to be our thing. That's where we thrived and we'd done well. Now, I think I wanted to turn the game off after 45. After that second goal went in, I thought, here we go again. Now, Scott, I wanted to ask you one thing. You're a coach with East Kilbride. So if that happens, right, what happens in the dressing room after? Is everyone turning around to Fernandez and saying, what are you doing? You've just majorly cost us there. Like, that's basic defending. He wasn't looking where the ball was going.
It's a good question. I think the makeup of the Rangers change room is a lot different from what it is in the East Kilbride. I think, listen, everyone can make mistakes in a game of football. I think it's just, as I says, there's no consistency there. And I think that's then when a manager can come in, but sometimes the players have to discuss it themselves. Well, what's going on here? That, for me, and I'm saying Tav plays a part in it as well, because Tav has to stop the cross. But ultimately, once the ball goes by Tav, he has to defend that better. There's no getting away from it. But you'd imagine, or you would like to think so, that the more senior players in the Rangers squad are having conversation, because you cannot defend like that and expect to win games. Well, that's probably not.
Something that's been levelled with the Rangers for a few years now.
Probably not.
Is there a leadership issue there? Because when people talk about that, they tend to just focus on James Tavernier. And listen, we've probably moved on from everybody grabbing each other by the scruff of the neck, and you know, I think times are different, cultures different. You've got young guys who see things differently, come from different parts of the world, but still, that bit that still should probably run through dressing rooms. It's hard for us to know because we're not in it.
But you should see that visually on the pitch, though. That's what I always go back to. It's easy to come in a change room after a game and start shouting. You've seen it lots of times. People kick the door on the way in. I think the best way to show it is on the pitch, whether that's a player who wants to demand the ball and try and get the game by the scruff of the neck. But your defenders, you just defend better. I feel now a lot of defenders want protection all the time. See now, if a defender gets beaten a 1v1, they'll come in and ask, where's the protection?
Were the days when managers used to physically assault players.
It used to be a thing where defenders wanted that challenge, me against you. See, now they'll come in and they'll say, I've a bit done, but where was the protection?
Somebody somewhere is going to complain about Hugh Keevan's condoning violence. I just know it. He wasn't being entirely serious. Maybe a little bit, but not entirely. Thank you to Jordan. What about John and Cambus Lang? Hi, John, how's it going? Right, John's line's a wee bit ropey. Let's try and get that cleared up. What we'll do, John, is we'll pause for breath and we'll get you on when we return.
Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen is here alongside Hugh Keevan's, and we're about to speak to John and Cambus Lang. Let me quickly give you your teaser. Don't give me any answers, because John's been hanging on, as you heard before the break. But Callum and Paisley wants you to name the last seven non-Europeans to score in a Scottish League Cup final. Okay, the last seven non-Europeans to score in a Scottish League Cup final. John, we've got you now loud and clear, I think. Take it away.
I'm about Rangers defence. I just can't believe a full defence has been basically replaced, apart from Tavernier, and how terrible it's been. And I'm watching games and we seem to be clicking a wee bit better going forward, midfield getting a bit better, but I mean, we brought a set piece coach in recently. Maybe a defensive coach has got to come in as well, because the players we brought in, the money we spent as well. I'm not just going to single one player, but I'm looking at Fernandez. The teams he's played for, it's like Margate. I only know about Margate because that's where they went, the Jolly Boys out in me, only if it was not.
I was like,
what's happened? And obviously in January, we've got to bring in one, possibly two in the centre-halves. With John Souter, the contract's here, but if I'm being honest, it wouldn't bother me if he didn't sign on a contract, because for Rangers, he's been very, very average, because if that's the bar we're setting, with John Souter now. Plays very well for Scotland, but I don't know, it's a full defence we need, basically, because Tavernier's going to be away probably at the end of the season. He's probably our best defender, and it's frightening.
As a department, Scott, John is on to something. It's a department that really needs analysed for a couple of reasons, because if you want to talk about just kind of performance levels and whatever within games, fine, but then you've got recruitment, then you've got type of contract. So, you know, go through it. So it's brought in the summer: Aarons, Giga, Fernandez, Cornelius, Magoma. Any of them really been a success?
No, right. I think there's something in Magoma, but fine. he's still young. He's right. Not so ultimately. He's not Rangers player.
So none of the five.
No.
Right. Then you get to the fact that four of them are on loan as well. It feels like that area has been a real sort of, as it has been mishandled, it feels like.
Well, it has. I think Rangers have no option but to give John Souter a new deal, purely based on the five names you've just mentioned there, and most of them being loans. I think you've no option but to give John Souter, because you can't rely on the recruitment bringing in guys who are going to be better for now. You look at Fernandez, for me, last night and the Dundee United game, yes, he'll put a block in here and there, but you just can't rely on him consistently. Magoma, listen, he's still young, he's learning the game, and he's learning it in a really harsh environment at Rangers. I think there's been improvements within him. Aarons, for me, just not for me. I don't think he offers enough going forward or defensively. And James Tavernier, still your most productive player in terms of goals. That's and is still at fault for some of the goals that Rangers have conceded. But all things together, that is a recipe for disaster when your back line hasn't shown any consistency throughout the season.
Yeah, Hugh, I mean, it's like we said, you can look at it a couple of ways. What's happening right now? How is it impacting your performances? But also, what's the strategy here? How did you get to this? How did you bring all these loans in? And then the one guy you spent the big money on is not really convincing yet either. Maybe Manny Fernandez does come good in time, but we're talking about as things stand tonight.
We're back to Kevin Thirlwell, aren't we? That's why I think that Danny Rule will take over in January, and he'll take charge of recruitment. A lot of this is, you know, John Souter. John doesn't fancy him, but Danny Rule does, and he wants a contract extension for him. So a combination of circumstances at work here. Players out because of injury, players brought in who are substandard for a club of Rangers size, and the combination of those things have resulted in an exposure at European level. The next two games, Hibs followed by Hearts, are crucial to Rangers' season, I think, because you know, if Danny Rule can get a performance out of them, and defensively,
is it then Motherwell Celtic as well?
Celtic the 3rd of January at Celtic Park. You know, those games are crucial to Rangers' season. As I say, I think there are plenty of Rangers supporters who really and truly believe that this domestic season still has something to offer.
Hibs, Hearts, Motherwell, St Mirren, Celtic is Rangers' next batch.
Quite a handful.
But listen, they have been on a decent domestic, certainly unbeaten run.
Yeah.
Obviously,
depends how you look at
the draws there against Falkirk and Dundee United. We'll thank John for his thoughts and leave him be. That was John in Cambuslang. Craig's on the other line though. Craig, how are you?
Hey, Colin, how you doing, mate?
Good. What jumped out for you last night?
Yeah, Majorski's finish, it was absolutely outstanding. It's like the finesse on that acrobatic technique was just unbelievable. It's like, now that's Majorski at his best. If he can do that in European football, I'd like to see him do that in the league, and we will see the best of him.
Well, he did it in the league at Kilmarnock last weekend, of course, so he's starting to come away. Very, very slow start. I had a Celtic fan on a week or two ago who was laughing at me because I said that Majorski would be a game changer for Rangers. Slow start, but he's starting to get the goals. And he's the main man now, up front. Again, he'll be vital on Monday night when Rangers play Hibs. He's got the talent, you know, and everyone said,
if he's fit.
Yeah.
So he went off and he had a ice pack in his hamstring after the game, and Danny Rule saying he doesn't know yet if it's serious.
Oh, that'd be a blow, because he we've gone on and on about the front three, Chermiti and Danilo, who don't seem to have it in their contract that they score goals. Miowski looks the part, so it would be a blow for Rangers if that injury was to put him out for weeks.
It was a brilliant goal, Scott.
Instinctive.
I mean, I've noticed all. I'm interested though. I've noticed something. I noticed that everybody trusts the VAR lines in Europe, but they don't trust them domestically. You noticed that? See how tight that was last night. Nobody bats an eyelid, but when it's here, hold on, what's happening here? I don't like the look of that. From an aesthetic point of view, I think you'd have to admit you're glad it stood. It was brilliant to see the execution of it.
Yeah, execution as you speak about, and just a bit of it. Was instinctive as well. It's the only way he felt he could get the purchase on it to score, and he does it. And all that comes from the confidence of scoring the two goals against Kilmarnock. I thought the two goals against Kilmarnock were fantastic as well. See the one where you don't think he's going to get the shot away, bang, that's in the back of the net, goalkeeper can't react quick enough. And that's sometimes all it is for strikers, is goals bring confidence. He's now scored three very good goals at that. So if he was to be a doubt for Monday, that'd be a real blow to Rangers.
Because Chermiti came on, probably didn't really see much of him again, did we? Is that fair?
Yeah.
He runs about and does nothing.
I don't want to go in too hard. He's found it really tough. There's no getting away from that. And a lot of...
He runs about and does nothing. Did you hear me now?
Yeah, I heard you. Listen, for me, if Miofsky's fit, he's going to play. He's a guy who's going goals. Chermiti, the chance against Dundee United, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? It's harder to miss. He does even make the goalkeeper make a save. So listen, he's still a youngerish player, Portugal under 21, came for a lot of money under a cauldron with his pressures on you every week. He just hasn't cut it up until this point.
Craig, you don't sound too down about last night. You want to sort of focus on domestic stuff?
I was delighted to see Dejan Sterling coming back after a bad injury, obviously. He looked quite reassured, like as if he'd not really been out of the team that long. So it's just basically we've got quite a tough run of fixtures coming up. Obviously, the Hibs and the Hearts game. So we need to kind of focus on getting the big in the Bruce Finest out the road. And obviously, the St Mirren, Aberdeen, Celtic game will take care of itself.
That would be a real kick in the teeth to Danny Rule if Miowski wasn't fit at this particular time, just when he looks like he's starting to find form.
When one out of three starts to find form, and then that one is forced to miss games because of injury, then the two out of three who don't score, they become more of a problem.
Yeah, listen, it's probably too early to call. They went for a scan today, you would imagine, then you'll find out tomorrow. I don't know if you'll be up at the training tomorrow, will you?
It's my daughter's birthday this weekend, so no, they'll be there. I don't think they're having a press conference anyway, by the way, just in case you're
Monday
wondering.
Monday night game, I'd imagine they'd have been off today, train Saturday, Sunday then.
I think they probably did their stuff last night over there. That's sometimes the way they do it. You get your preview material in nice and early. But yeah, we'll wait and see if he takes into the lineup on Monday night.
How old is your daughter now?
She will be five.
Remember my wife knitting her motherable cardigan?
You knitted more claret and amber stuff than anybody has ever owned before. Still got it. It's spectacular.
I had to show my wife a photograph of a motherable strip and say, can you knit that?
Perfect colours as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Still got it. Don't you worry about that. Maybe dig it out in May if the Scottish Cup run goes to plan. But St Mirren got there this time in the League Cup, didn't they? And speaking of which, there's your not-so-smooth transition. Alan is a St Mirren fan. How are you, Alan?
I'm good, thanks. Good evening, guys. Are you all right?
Good evening.
What are you thinking, Alan? You got that pre-match excitement, pre-match buzz on?
It's been great. The town's been buzzing the last couple of weeks. All the socials, the fan groups are all just looking forward to a good day out. All of a sudden, kind of, Celtic are there for the taking. We all know that. I think the worst thing Celtic could have done was maybe not keep Martin O'Neill on for these games. I think the hardest game that Martin O'Neill got out with the Midtjylland game was on the way a few weeks back. And I thought, you know what, we could still get a game here. Then all of a sudden, fast forward a couple of weeks, and they've got a new manager, and they're playing not the best. So the players that Simon got, the Phillips in midfield, Dogic at the back, Mandron up front, it could be a good day all round, I think. We're very confident. It's a solid, solid team, Simon. They're hard to beat. I think Hugh said earlier on this evening, don't underestimate, and he's bang on. The place is just looking forward to it now. I think the last week's not been great for Celtic. I think from there on, I think it makes it more realistic chance here.
So you buy into that, this notion that, you know, there'll never be a better time to face Celtic in a cup final, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. As I said, Martin O'Neill done well in his league games, but that night at St Mirren, apart from Callum McGregor's wonder goal, St Mirren the chances to go and go a couple ahead, yep, and then take them, of course, and then throw hand at the end through a great strike. But more than a match, and even now with the new manager in his new way, his 3-4-3, the base St Mirren set up as well.
Yeah, McManaman and Declan John, big game for them Sunday.
Left wing, he's brilliant. And Phillips in midfield is just a powerhouse for St Mirren. He's the first man in the starting sheet, him and Gogic. So Gogic at the back against Maeda.
Or Gogic in midfield, in the absence potentially of the injured Mark O'Hara. What do you think?
I think that's keeping quiet, maybe touch and go for Sunday for him. He's been quite quiet maybe the last 10 days regarding updates. Maybe it's we'll see what happens the night before. But Gogic's good midfield, but at the back, he's just one of the main man in the pitch, and his leadership's phenomenal.
Stephen Robinson has got to play down this stuff.
Yeah, publicly he has.
Publicly, yeah. But privately, mm-hmm, Stephen Robinson must be thinking, what a chance we have here.
I think so.
Yeah. He's got to be.
Because it's funny, because he obviously reached two cup finals in the same season when he was a Motherwell manager. They were both against Celtic, but it was a Celtic team at the peak of the powers,
yeah,
under Brendan Rodgers. And believe me, I remember it, particularly the Scottish Cup final when it came around. I know this is a League Cup, that game was a bit narrower, but it came round and you genuinely thought, there's just no way we can win this. That was the kind of, I think, the way most of the Motherwell fans felt. You'll always get a bit of bravado before the game and you think, you know, maybe in your dream, but it was just so routine for Celtic and it was just so comfortable. But do you think he'll note a difference in this Celtic team compared to that one?
Yeah, I mean, in this year of 2025, the quality that has drained out of Celtic, Kyogo, Matt O'Reilly, Kuhn, they are, right now,
Celtic, and then the injured ones on top of that.
Yeah, right now, Celtic are bang average. And St Mirren have an outstanding chance. And we had a Celtic supporter earlier on, and you asked them, how do you feel about Sunday? Not looking forward to it. And I think that is the mood. The prevailing mood among the Celtic supporters is apprehension. The prevailing mood among the St Mirren fans is bring it on.
There's still that, but believe me, there's that little bit in the back of your mind as a fan of a so-called smaller team where it's the hope that kills you, and you'd rather be the complete you don't like it when people talk up your chances.
Yeah, but I think they were underdog up against Motherwell.
Different.
Yeah, but they performed. Yeah, but they performed really well. Motherwell had a style, and he set up for it and carried out the game plan really well. I think it'll be sort of similar. I think Stephen Robinson would have watched Celtic, how their build was playing out from the back under Schmeichel against Hearts, and then he'd have watched it last night. The one thing you don't want to do against St Mirren is play straight passes into the middle of the park, because that's where they've got their numbers, and they've got athleticism as well, Gordon.
Thank you to Alan. Let's stick on the St Mirren theme and bring in Matthew in Bishop Briggs. What are you thinking, Matthew?
Hey, Gordon. I very much the same as Alan was. Quietly confident for Sunday. I think, albeit we're playing Celtic at a good time, you know, we can't underestimate them. They know how to win games, and we saw that the hard way, unfortunately, in Paisley a few weeks ago, but we won't play them at a better time, and certainly if we do what we're good at, then we can hurt them.
How important is it for you that you've found your form again, though? You've found results, because 2 weeks ago you might have been on here saying you're absolutely dreading it because you can't buy a win.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that win was massive for us last week. I think if you're an outside supporter, you know, you look at the run we're on and you probably don't see a true reflection. You know, we've had games that we've played really well in and we've not got the results, we've had dodgy decisions and we've ultimately not taken our chances, but getting that win last week, you know, it gets the monkey off the back and it changes the mentality and it changes the belief in the camp and in the supporters. So it came at a really good time for us.
I know it's a simplistic thing, but you know, St Mirren have had a full week. Celtic have had that game against Hearts on Sunday and all the palaver that followed.
So Celtic played twice since St Mirren have played.
And you know, you see players going off at half time last night, Kieran Tierney, Maeda. You know, as well as having a squad that's now nowhere near as
classy as it used to be, there's a physical aspect to it all now. I mean, Kieran Tierney struggles to last 90 minutes at the best of times. He only got 45 last night, presumably to save him for Hampden. But all in all, the only fear I would have for you, Matthew, it's all too good to be true.
That's kind of what I was saying earlier with that. That is a, you know, Matthew, sometimes that does come into your mind, doesn't it, as a fan of a so-called smaller team. Like, you're almost a wee bit uncomfortable when people start talking about how good a chance you've got.
Yeah, I think so. And I think one of your guys asked me when I was down at Paisley last week for the interview, and then, you know, albeit that we are not expected to win the game, it suits us that way. And almost when all this pressure shifts because Celtic are in a crisis, you know, people start to talk about St Mirren, well, it suits us being the underdogs, and we don't want the expectation on our shoulders. So keep on talking about Celtic being the rightful winners.
Well, we're talking 14,000, I think. That'll be some occasion, won't it?
Yep, definitely. So it's a big occasion, and it's not just about the game for St Mirren and St Mirren supporters, it's about the wider occasion before the game and hopefully the massive party after it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Stephen Robinson was doing his press stuff yesterday, says he's got his new suit. Players don't want one, they want to keep it normal. They must be going track suits, but he's got his new suit, and after that, just let the rest take care of itself.
The contrast is unbelievable. You know, I don't know if Celtic will stay in a hotel Saturday night.
Celtic stay every game, no matter where they play.
I assume they will. The St Mirren players didn't want a hotel either. Incidentally, happy birthday, Mark O'Hara. It's his birthday today. Shares it with Gordon Duncan's daughter. So
a couple of days out, don't worry.
Oh, right.
I'll lay you off with.
So if Mark's listening, I'll get the wife to knit you something.
Plenty to look forward to for Matthew and Alan and the other St Mirren fans. In the meantime, let's try and give away some money, shall we?
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
£1,700 up for grabs by predicting the outcome of three games. That is it. We started off 17 weeks ago, presumably, with £100. Wow. And we've rolled over every week. Nobody has got this right. It is incredible. Thanks to McNair's Building Supplies for putting up the money. What we want you to do is get in touch right now. Morton v Airdrie, Falkirk v Hearts, St Mirren v Celtic after 90 minutes. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So give us a call right now. Over 18s only. Lines close at the end of this break.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Right, it is time for the Pundit Predictor. Thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. I can tell you the lines are now closed, so if you're still trying to get through, and I can see loads of you are, thank you so much for trying to give it a bash, but you'll need to hang up the phone and maybe give it a go next week. Sean is the lucky caller who got through, though. Sean in Carntyne, how are you, Sean?
I'm all right, cheers.
Now, I'm reliably informed, Sean, you've got a car full.
So I've got my brother, my daughter, my niece and my nephew in full car.
Are they splitting the money if you win?
Absolutely not. They can have a wee bit, but no way.
Quite right. Get that in writing. Sean, all you have to do, and I say that, all you have to do, nobody's managed it yet, but we need the outcome from the following three games. So you just tell me who's going to win, or if it's going to be a draw. So the first game I need from you is Morton v Airdrie.
We'll go with Morton.
Go with Morton, home win. Falkirk v Hearts.
Away win, Hearts.
Hearts to win. And St Mirren Celtic, but it is after 90 minutes.
Celtic
to win after, definitely, says Sean. Well, there we go, Sean. It is that simple. Now you sit back, get your feet up over the weekend, and on Monday night we'll get you back on if you've won the £1,700, and if not, it rolls over to next week. Happy with that?
That's as simple as that.
Simple as that. Good man, Sean, and his family. Well done to you all in the car. And let's see how we go. It's thanks to our friends at McNair's Building Supplies. Just out of curiosity, Hugh, what would you go for?
I would go for Morton to beat Airdrie. I would go for the champions elect to win at Falkirk.
In 90 minutes. I'm not asking you who's going to win the cup.
Three draws.
I'm finding it
inconceivable that Celtic could lose cup finals back to back. I would go Celtic by the odd goal.
So I thought you were a cert to predict St Mirren for this final. You surprised me after all these years.
Well, the St Mirren fans are delighted. That's because true. I've tipped Celtic.
That's true. I'm glad it's not me. I don't think I'd be confident predicting any of those three games. Even Airdrie have
three draws after.
Airdrie are looking alright.
Airdrie have been good. Been really good.
I like Falkirk. Anyway, there we go. We'll see what happens. Thank you to Sean and Carntine on the Pundit Predictor. What about the full-time teaser? Let's throw some other names of show features at you, because we haven't even got this up and running properly yet. Callum and Paisley asked you to name the last seven non-Europeans to score in a Scottish League Cup final. What have you got?
Kyogo.
Absolutely correct.
Tom Rogic.
Four times, I think. Yeah. Tom Rogic, yes.
Alfredo Morelos.
Yes, against Celtic. 2023.
Maeda.
Yep. Against Rangers. 2024. Which means you've got three to get.
Are they all Old Firm players?
Two are Rangers. One is neither.
Do we get the team? No.
No. Not yet. But there is a real significance attached to this team in terms of League Cup final.
Is it a St Mirren player?
Yes.
So right, they beat Hearts. South American.
2013. Do you remember who it was?
It was a South American, wasn't he? Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, what was his name?
Oh, don't like the silence. You got nothing, Scott? Is this not even coming back to you?
I'm trying to think of the two Rangers players.
What about if he also played for Hearts? I think. Yeah, he did. So he scored against Hearts.
Striker?
Yes.
Christian Nadi?
No.
I know. Is he?
Okay, he can get back to me. What about the Rangers ones? You've got two Rangers ones still to get. You've got Morelos. Any others from that sort of era? Oh my goodness. What if I told you, I'll make it really easy for you, although please don't just name them all. The two Rangers players, both of them are still there. Just trying to apply a little bit of thought. Please don't just name the squad list. If you start with Jack Butland, they'll be furious with you. So both still there. Both scored against Celtic in the 2024 final. Oh my word. Right, we'll get back to it. What about the last part of the show? Let's quickly give some attention to some big league games this weekend. Well, actually, on the Pundit Predictor there, the league leaders going to Falkirk 8 o'clock tomorrow night, live in Sky Sports. The chance to go 6 points.
Yeah, Mandy.
Yes. Well done.
Sorry, Gordon.
The chance to go 6 points clear, Hugh. The kind of, what's the old cliche? You're better getting the points on the board, sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Derek McInnes went to Celtic Park last Sunday, did his job superbly well. His players, you can see the togetherness in that team. It's phenomenal. And Derek McInnes, must know that he can put Celtic and Rangers under all manner of pressure by simply taking care of his job at Falkirk and then beating Rangers at Tynecastle. If he does that, then I might get a jumper knitted with champions elect on it.
Yeah, I think Derek McInnes, you've seen the frustration after the Kilmarnock game, obviously losing that late goal, then to go to Celtic Park and come away with the 3 points, you would expect them to have to back that up. It is a difficult game going to Falkirk. They don't lose many games there. But if Hearts are really serious about this, then they would have to win games away at Falkirk.
That's the crux of the matter. Yeah. If you're serious about this, you'll do it at Falkirk. And then you'll look forward to Rangers at Tynecastle. Blips and slip-ups now would be real serious mistakes.
You could say that one of the... maybe the most consequential game of the weekend, and it won't be the most fashionable, might be Livi Dundee. If Dundee go to Livi and win,
yeah,
and open up a 7 point gap, that feels like a long road back.
Yeah, it's a pivotal moment, and there's no getting away from the fact that we keep expecting Livi to mount the great escape,
because they've played fine in quite a number of games,
but they don't win matches, and they have really and truly got to correct that fault.
What about the great entertainers, Mercedes Jens and his team, heading to Tannadice though, who aren't in great form?
United need a win. Listen, Motherwell, for me, they just seem to have a a way of playing that other teams are really struggling to deal with at the moment. But for Jim Goodwin and Dundee United, they have to win.
Interesting as well, because teams are, because it is so specific, teams are then really thinking of a specific solution, aren't they, at times, yeah, rather than focusing on. So Falkirk did it. You know, Falkirk completely not ripped up, but their game plan was specifically to stop Motherwell. Now, that's not, Motherwell are not the size of team that tend to command that.
Yep.
So especially if you're Dundee United and you're at the moment struggling for form a bit, it'll be interesting to see what Jim Goodwin does.
Yeah, listen, the fact is, you either sit off them or you go really aggressive and try and force them into a certain way where you can then nick the ball. So that'll be fascinating, that game.
Can't believe we're out of time already. Sure, Kettlewell could be doing with a win. Kelly going to Aberdeen. Danilo, yes. So Danilo, Diomande, Maeda, Morelos, Kyogo and Rogic are the last six non-Europeans to score in a League Cup final. Who's the seventh? St Mirren against Hearts 2013, also played for Hearts. Isma Goncalves.
I was genuinely going to say
that's what they all say. I don't believe you. Thank you very much to Scott Allen and to Hugh Keevans, and thank you for your calls, your tweets, your messages, Pundit Predictor, everything that you get involved in. We really do appreciate it. It's a really special day tomorrow, an important day. I always say it, one we wish we didn't have to do, but it's the Cash for Kids sports auction. Let's have a bit of fun. Let's give away some unbelievable prizes. Most importantly, let's raise some much needed money for local children. It starts at 1:45, a little bit earlier, so we'll see you then. And the GBX is up next.